You're very welcome to the next in our series of podcasts. My name is Martin Walsh and I'm Chief Legal Counsel at Daon. And today I have the pleasure of speaking with Paul Kenny, who is Daon's Chief Technical Architect and a man who knows a thing or two about something I know very little about, multi-factor authentication, which is our chosen topic for today. Thanks for coming along, Paul, and chatting to us.
No problem, Martin.
So, Paul, we're definitely going to have to start at the beginning here. Can you tell me what MFA is, multi-factor authentication?
Okay, so maybe the best way to begin speaking about what multi-factor authentication is to just think a little bit about, well, what is authentication? So authentication is really about proving who I am so that I can access something generally. Mm-hmm. So even if we take it back to the pre-digital age, perhaps I have a bank who's going to store some things that are very important to me in a strong room. Mm-hmm. And they might have somebody who's manning that strong room and decides who gets in and who doesn't. So we could think about, well, how would you ensure that the right person gets into the room? So you can do it through a number of different factors. And that's where we get the factors from MFA. Right. And generally, you would see in any security system that there are three types of factors. The first can be something that you are, which is generally a biometric factor.
Okay.
And in a non-digital world, that could be as simple as a security guard recognizing the person who's walking up.
Okay.
And being able to identify them as, oh, I've seen you multiple times before, I know it's you. And essentially, a digital biometric system does pretty much the same thing.
Okay.
The next factor you might think about is a knowledge factor. So maybe you could have a secret passphrase that might give someone access to the strong room, and that would be a knowledge factor.
Open sesame, something
exactly.
like that.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
So you've got your password, and in you go. And then the third factor that one could have is a possession factor. And a possession factor means something you have. So a token to prove that you can access, have the right to access that room. And, you know, a key would be an example that we would certainly have seen in the physical world quite a lot. Mm-hmm. So combining those multiple factors together really is about what multi-factor authentication is. And here in Daon and in general security principles, we would see that any two out of those three would give you quite a strong sense of security around access something. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it can be two out of the three, and the reason that I think having two out of the three can be beneficial is that it gives you that flexibility to be able to pick any two of those options that I mentioned.
Okay, so this is why, you know, I'm starting to understand it now. Is this why you would be recommending this, or people recommend multi-factor authentication to protect user accounts because of this security? Is it having
exactly.
the multiple elements?
Exactly. The multiple elements means that if you compromise one of those elements, that you then have other elements to fall back on. So and that it's much more difficult to compromise the two elements than it is just one. That's
okay.
One.
So these elements are inherently secure themselves. But then if you have two of these quite secure elements, the one you're falling back on, as you say, is still quite secure itself.
Yeah, like if we go to the example of the physical world, where maybe someone has copied my skeleton key or my key, and they've come up and they've said, "Oh, here's I'm able to access the door." But the security guard might still say, "Oh, that doesn't look like Paul. Maybe I'll ask the passphrase." Okay, so you're getting that example there of maybe where one element has been compromised and we're now going back to use one of the other elements that are available to us in order to
got it. You've done a great job. You've managed to explain that to me, so I appreciate that. Can I ask you about something that sounds quite relevant today, which is a lot of our customers are interested in the Payment Services Directive 2, and I know that multi-factor authentication is referenced as part of that discussion. So if I have multi-factor authentication, if I have a solution or a system that's providing that, does that mean I am compliant for the purposes of the Payment Services Directive 2?
Yeah, you're certainly going a long way towards it once you've got a solution. And indeed, PSD2 in the aspects of strong customer authentication does really specify MFA as the solution. However, the devil is in the detail on these things, and what you want to do is make sure you have a solution that's implemented properly and securely, and also a solution that's convenient for your customers. So I think when you're thinking about PSD2, it's not about just meeting the minimum requirement. I think if you just did that, you could end up with a poor user experience if you just layer in, let's say, one factor on top of, let's say, a factor that most people would already have, like password, for example,
right.
And they layer in one factor on top of that. Mm-hmm. You could end up with a solution that restricts the users that can use it, or that gives a poor experience. So that's where I think maybe having a COTS product come in that actually provides multiple different implementations for the factors that we mentioned, that it's not just one and it gives you options and choice, I think is essential to really not just meeting the requirement but doing so in a way that's going to delight your customers. And I would also be mindful that trying to use standards where available is always a good thing, and that there's a standards group called the FIDO Alliance who have defined some really good standards in the MFA space that I think anyone who's implementing an MFA solution should really take a look at.
Okay, and does it go without saying that the Dayon software complies with these standards that you're talking
yes,
about?
Yes, so Dayon's IdentityX server is compliant with the FIDO and FIDO 2 standards set out by the FIDO Alliance.
Okay. Can you tell me the difference between multi-factor authentication and two-factor authentication? You often see this referenced as well.
Yeah, and it is a funny one, that, because I think sometimes terms can be twisted by marketing. And really, like I would say, 2FA is a subset of multi-factor authentication. So when someone says that they're selling MFA, 2FA could well be an implementation
sure.
of that. But I think what we're seeing in the market really is that when people talk about MFA, they really mean, okay, 2FA was maybe password plus one-time code over SMS. And then MFA really means adding something else on top of that. And the something else in general has been looking towards biometrics, but sometimes it might have been maybe phone as a token or something like that. So when you see the two mentioned, it can be confusing. And for me, when I think of multi-factors, I think about choice, that it gives me a choice of any of the three. And not only that, I think you should actually have a choice of different ways to do any of the three. So if you're offering a biometric option, it shouldn't be just maybe Touch ID or whatever is available on my device. I should also have the ability to be able to use face or voice so that I can use them in channels that aren't my phone, and that maybe I can use them in presence in a branch, or that I can use them maybe over a telephone line in the case of voice. So I think having that choice there really helps.
Okay, when somebody mentions choice to me, I always have to ask them though, but I know there's choice, but what is the best approach when you're going about multi-factor authentication? How would you see it? Or is there one simple answer to a question like that?
And this is where I get frustrated by saying no, there isn't really a simple answer.
Sure.
That the most important thing, I think, is being able to have some messaging for your customers that give them confidence in knowing how to authenticate with you. So you want to give them choices to when they need it, but give them a consistent experience for the most part.
Okay.
The last thing you want to do when a user goes to log in is give them 20 different options.
Yes.
And they don't know what to do.
Yes.
Okay. So I think it's about building intelligence into your application that offers the intelligent options to a customer. So for example, if they're doing a transaction on their phone where they have a really good biometric piece of hardware built in, it makes sense to give the user the option to use it.
Mm-hmm.
But you do need to give them the option to not use it, because not everybody is comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about presenting the choice to the user in a way that makes it easy for those that want to take advantage of the easy route, but allows those that don't want to use it to be able to follow a different path.
Okay. Is it also fair to say that, you know, among your customers, you probably, a lot of it is dependent on what the bank or the financial institution themselves feel is preferable, because banks are all different and what they choose is different.
Yep.
Like, how do you deal with that type of situation?
Yeah, and that is the challenge of implementing a platform like IdentityX. It's very easy to build solutions that do very discrete things in an easy manner. The hard thing is actually building a platform that allows the variety of not only regulatory compliance that different banks in different countries have to comply with, but also their own security teams. Each of them might have a different set of rules around how they let's say how complex they want pins or passwords to be, or what biometrics they'll allow, or where they'll allow that biometric to be matched. And having that flexibility in the platform is actually the hard thing, and that's what Identity X is really good at, is giving a policy driven approach to be able to on the fly change rules around how authentication can happen so that it can match with the needs of your customers and organizations. And I think that's why Identity X has been chosen by companies like Visa and MasterCard, who need to offer solutions in multiple countries around the globe where multiple different regulatory standards need to be satisfied.
Okay, brilliant. I thought Dayan was a biometrics company, though. You know, what role does Dayan have in knowledge and possession factors? Can you join those together for me?
Yeah, so I think you're right, Martin, that traditionally Dayan would have come at this problem from the biometrics angle, and still the biometrics is a big cornerstone of our product. It's, it's, I think, how we would differentiate ourselves from maybe some of the other companies in this space is that we do biometrics really well. However, it's not the only thing we're doing.
Okay.
Even traditionally, when we did biometrics, we would also have been leveraging a set of technology called PKI to be able to securely store those biometrics. But PKI isn't just used for securely storing things. It can also be used to securely identify things. And that allows us to securely identify devices, so that you can register a device as your device, and therefore any authentication that you do can be tied to that device. So that's giving you that something you have part of multi-factor authentication. We also allow that instead of biometrics, you can use knowledge factors to add an additional factor. Those knowledge factors can either be matched on the client using a local PIN, for example, similar to the PIN you put into your phone whenever you get your fingerprint wrong. And also we have a knowledge factor technology called Secure Remote Password that allows me to be able to prove to a server that I know a PIN or a passphrase without actually sending that to the server. And it uses some complex maths to be able to achieve that, and combines that then with the something I have factor to be able to give that two factors of authentication to the server. One of the other things I get with this PKI technology is the ability to implement what's called a soft token on the client. So that allows me in my app to be able to offer the features that you would have seen on traditional plastic hard tokens. It allows me to generate maybe time-based one-time passwords, or to be able to sign transactions, to be able to prove, to be able to sign and take some details from a transaction, like maybe the last four digits of the account number or the value, and combine them to generate a random one-time PIN that I can then use to authenticate that transaction online.
Okay, all right, that all sounds super useful. But I presume these type of offerings and these technologies, you have to have a super duper smartphone, right? These offerings are only available to smartphone users.
So the likes of the soft token, yeah, that would be the case, that it's been tied to a smartphone. But I think the important thing about the Identity X platform is that it is not just tied to smartphones. So, for example, the something I have part, as I mentioned, could come from PKI in a mobile app. It could also come from some of the new technology being brought out by many companies based on the FIDO 2 standards, where they have defined a security key. So you'll see that, for example, Google have one called the Titan that's on the market at the moment. It allows you to securely access your applications using a normal desktop. You don't need a smartphone, and you use this security key to do it. And the support of the FIDO standards in Dayan's Identity X server allows that Identity X could offer similar experiences to other organizations that want to use that technique. Moving away from the possession factor, Identity X also allows the use of biometrics in any channel. So again, we would have some users who may choose to use biometrics in, for example, telephony, to be able to identify themselves maybe to a call center, or to maybe be able to have a experience in an IVR where they can use online telephone-based banking and be able to authenticate in that channel. And that could be combined maybe with knowledge factors to give you, again, that two-factor experience. You've got the something you are with your voice and something you know maybe with a PIN.
Okay, very good. But it does sound quite complex. I mean, does multi-factor authentication add complexity to the authentication process?
It doesn't have to add complexity for the user, but yeah, it does make the system complex. And I think that's why it's very important to look at using COTS product in this space.
Okay.
If you are to go and, let's say, build your own MFA system, you could say, oh, I'm just going to take one of the additional factors and, you know, I'm just going to, let's say, tie into Touch ID on my iPhone, and that's something I can get my developer team to do pretty easily. I think that that is the wrong choice, because it brings you down a road where, first of all, you're tied to that operating system's particular way of doing something. It also ties you into all the weaknesses, let's say, that might be inherent in whatever that implementation is. Whereas I think if you can instead use a COTS product that already has tied in to maybe Touch ID, for example, but also gives lots of other options as well, and you just have one call into that system, it's up to that system to worry about offering options on the various devices that you're on. It's up to that system to worry about how to do attempt counting across multiple channels. So if I was to mention SCA, for example, again with PSD2, one of the important things there it mentions is the ability.
SCA is what? Just to explain.
So
that.
SCA is the secure customer authentication part of PSD2, and that's the part that says you must have two factors.
Okay.
And it's not only saying that, it's also saying what happens when you fail one of those factors. So it's saying if you fail, you must not let the user know which factor failed. It also says that if the user fails four times in a row, you need to give them a warning to let them know that they're about to get their account blocked. And indeed, when they fail the fifth time, their account must be blocked. And think about how complex that is to do that attempt counting across multiple different devices, in multiple different applications for maybe the one user, and being able to make sure that no actor is being able to take advantage of those multiple channels. That's where having a platform like Identity X comes in, where it has inbuilt solutions for all of those problems to be able
that
to
can make it look and operate in a simple, straightforward fashion.
Exactly.
Okay. Paul, can I ask you about the user experience when you are using multi-factor authentication technology? What's that like?
So I would see that the user experience should be presented to the user in the simplest way possible, which for me really is around trying to have the idea of a registered device. And it shouldn't matter really the context in which I'm authenticating. It's nice to have a consistent experience. I think that can help users, especially in these days where you're trying to warn users maybe around phishing attacks and things like that. You want to give people a consistent and easy experience. So certainly the push to mobile is the experience that I would see as being simplest for users to use, where they have a smartphone and that smartphone has biometrics ideally built into it. You simply get a push notification on your phone, you click on it, you authenticate with your biometrics, review and approve the transaction.
Okay.
Simple as that. If the user doesn't wish to use biometrics, they could use a simple 4 to 6 digit PIN maybe as an alternative to the biometrics, and that's what we would see many of our customers.
So you're saying actually if you don't want to use a PIN or a password, you can scan your face or speak into the phone?
Yeah, you can use your face. You could speak a passphrase, or indeed you could touch your fingerprint on the fingerprint sensor on your phone.
Okay, that seems like a pretty enjoyable and straightforward customer experience. So that's...
Yeah, so preferable to trying to type in a complex password with exclamation marks and numbers and one small letter and one big letter and trying to do that maybe every time.
And you're saying just as secure?
Just the secure,
Okay.
And more so, I would argue, than typing in passwords like that. And also, I would see as, again, more secure and more convenient than getting maybe random numbers over SMS and then having to read them and type them in. Again, having just that push notification that you click on just makes everything so simple as an alternative.
Let me ask you in finishing up, Paul, why would you choose Daon, or why would a bank or a financial institution choose Daon's technology in this instance?
So I would say there's a few reasons why I would recommend that banks consider choosing Daon. One is the wealth of experience that we have had over 20 years with biometrics, over 10 years with authentication on mobile, and the numbers of customers that we've interacted with. We've learned lessons from all those customers, and anyone who works with Daon gets to leverage those lessons that have been learned. So rather than dealing with a company that may be doing this for the first time, you're dealing with a company who has done this with large brands, like as I mentioned, Visa and MasterCard and some of the big banking brands around the world. So that would be one reason. I think another reason I would look at is really the breadth of options and choice in the platform that we do really offer. Multiple options for doing each of the factors in each channel, and that allows you to consider which of those options best suits your users and your market that your users are in and the regulations that you need to comply with. Having that choice in the platform, I think, is a key to success in any project. I would also suggest that having those factors really does allow you to have a one-stop shop for your MFA solution. So instead of having to maybe pull together components for each factor and try to tie it together yourself in your own software stack, to be able to just have one platform that brings everything together and allows you to have policies to decide which one to be used.
Okay, great. Paul, thank you very much for your time today. I very much appreciate your insights into this interesting and important area. I hope you, the listener, also found it useful. And if you'd like to hear more on this topic, or indeed on Daon and its offerings, please feel free to email us at info@daon.com. And you'll also find lots of information on our website at daon.com. Thank you very much for listening.